Well, this morning, as we look at Ephesians 4, we're kind of at the beginning of the end of the letter, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I just want to say, I didn't even realize this until this morning, but as Susan planned the worship for this week, she transitioned in such a great way from Ephesians 3, the first half of the letter, to Ephesians 4, because Paul has just gotten finished telling us, this is who your God is. This is what he calls you to. This is how much he loves you. And he prayed for the Ephesians at the end of chapter 3, that they would know how deep and how high and how wide and how long is the love of Jesus for them. He said, here is who your God is. You have a calling. And now he's moving into, how do you take hold of that calling? How do you follow it? And a calling, of course, implies going somewhere. When you have a calling, you can't stay where you were before. Jesus, when he came to his disciples, he said, come follow me. And they had to follow him. He says, I have something better for you. I have somewhere better for you to go than where you are right now. And so Paul has said, you're called into a relationship with God. You're called to live a life being the masterpiece of God to the world. This is your calling. Now take hold of it and follow. In verse 1, he writes, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Here's how you can live that calling. And that living into that calling, that life worthy of the calling, is a journey. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that the church is on a journey. And that journey is a journey to being like Jesus, becoming like Jesus. And we're going to look at that analogy this morning of a journey, kind of as a journey overseas from one place to another. And there are three components we're going to look at, and that's what the three parts of the message are this morning. We're going to look at the boat, we're going to look at the crew, and we're going to look at the destination of this journey. And we're going to start off right now with the boat, and that's what we see in verses 1 through 6. Again, we have this calling, and that calling is into a relationship with Jesus. It says, step into this relationship with God. And the Bible also tells us we're called out of darkness into light, into the light of God. And so we're going to picture this journey from the shores of darkness into this new land of light, where God's love is, where God has this life for us that he's called us to. And that we need a boat to get there. We can't swim there. We can't get there on our own. We need this boat. That boat is the kingdom of God. And it takes faith to get into that boat. It takes trusting Jesus that he can get you there. Because there are all kinds of other options out there. There are all kinds of other boats going to all kinds of different places. People are saying, if you do this, you can become like this. You can get this if you take this boat. Some of them will get to the places they promise. Some of them won't. There are all kinds of boats. Other gods, other ways of living, other things that are full of promises. Do you trust Jesus enough to get into his boat, is the question. And getting on that boat is also a matter of getting in with his community. Because there's one boat. You see that word repeated over and over again in verses 4 and 5? One body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. God calls us into one boat, and that means we have to get on this boat with all kinds of different people. You see, sometimes I think we'd like to kind of get one of those pedal boats and say, hey, Jesus, let's go on a pedal boat together, just you and me, right? We'll get there together. That's not how it works. There's not a boat for ourselves. There's not a boat for Jew or Gentile. That's what we saw in the last chapter 2, at least. There's not a boat for Americans and a boat for people from other countries. There's not a boat for people who were born in the UCC or born Catholic or born Hindu. He says, no, there is one boat. You have to make this decision. Are you going to get on this boat with Jesus? Paul has spent 3 chapters trying to convince you why you should. This is who God is. This is how much he loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. You can trust him to get you to this place of light, of the good life, of relationship with God. But that's the question before you. Do you trust that the God of the Bible, Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in this passage, do you trust that that God can get you to that place? Will you take that step of faith, get on that boat that Jesus is commanding, and embark on the journey? That's the question before us this morning. So that's really the decision of getting on the boat, is to say, I want Jesus to be my king. I want to be in his kingdom. I want to do things his way. I'm going to get on that boat and I'm going to live with humility and gentleness, patience and love, because that's what it takes not to jump ship when you're with a bunch of different people. But then once we get on that boat, soon we realize that it's not a cruise ship. It's not a place where we can kind of sit back, relax, gorge on the buffet, wait until we arrive at our destination. When we get on that boat, we're part of the crew. We're part of this crew where we're working. We're living a life that honors God, as we just sang. God wants you to be a part of this journey, and he's given you gifts to do it. That's what Paul wants us to really hear in these verses. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. In verse 8 it says, he gave gifts to people. You have been given gifts so that you can be a part of that journey. There is no exception. You might not know you have them. Maybe you are told you don't have gifts. You can't contribute. Maybe you just haven't tried something, and so you don't know whether you're gifted or not in it, but you have gifts. As much as we're united in our King, as much as we're united in the faith and the baptism and all the things that Paul talks about, we each have different gifts. Just like a crew on a ship, there's one boat, but there are all kinds of things that need to happen for that boat to make it from point A to point B. And that's what our gifts are for. By the power of God, we can use those gifts for a purpose. And Paul mentions a few gifts here. He talks about in verse 11, he says the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And this list isn't exhaustive. Paul's focusing on teaching and leadership gifts, but there are lots more gifts. If you go through the New Testament, you'll see all kinds of ways that God's people contribute to this journey that we're on. Paul, I think, focuses on these gifts to help us understand what the gifts are for. And that's the really important part. Look at verse 12. He's given us these gifts to equip the saints. And we said back in Ephesians 1, the saints are all of those who have chosen to get on that boat and follow Jesus. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. See, many of us do know we have gifts, and we use those gifts. The problem is we don't always know what they're for. We often think our gifts are for us, so that I can earn a living, so that I can attain wealth or fame or happiness or all of these things. Paul says, no, there's something more. There's a bigger reason you've been given these gifts, so that you can build up the body of Christ, so that you can contribute to this journey, cooperating with the Spirit, following Jesus. He emphasizes the gifts of teaching and pastors and prophets and evangelists. And sometimes we think that those are the people who really do ministry. So sometimes we have this, we don't say this, but sometimes we have this idea that we come to church and up here are all the gifted ones, right? And we listen to them and we sing along sometimes. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying the gifts of us, the pastors, the teachers, the musicians, for that matter, these gifts are to help you discover your gifts, are to help you learn how to use your gifts, are to help you become the kind of person who uses those gifts to get to the destination that we're on together. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for, to help you grow into your gifts and to use them to shine the light of Jesus. So you have been given gifts. That's important to remember. And if you are on the boat, you're not a passenger, you're part of the crew. Now, it's fitting this week, that as we talk about all these different gifts, that this just so happens to be our teacher commissioning today. And so I want to invite all of those who have taught or who have agreed to teach this year or have taught already this school year to come forward and so we can pray for you and commission you. And the shepherds as well. Yes. And we sing holiness, and I think holiness has a bad rap, I think, in our culture, don't you think? Not many people say they want to be holy. You know, we think holier than thou, and holy is for something else, but holy is just, again, a word for being different, for being set apart. And it's only when we're holy that we can live into this destination, arrive at this destination. And the destination is becoming the body of Christ, representing Jesus to the world, being the light of the world, being the masterpiece of God, being a mouthpiece for this story that we're called to be a part of. We have to be different if we're going to show the world that there is something better for our lives. And by the power of God, by the teaching of Jesus, by the presence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, working in our hearts, working in our community, we can become that. We can become the kind of people, the kind of community that people look at and say, there's something different about them. When I interact with this person or that person, when I am a part of that community, I feel something different. I feel a different kind of love. I hear a different kind of truth. There's a different kind of joy there. That's what we can become when we get on this journey. And that's what the destination is, that we would become like Jesus. The world, God's plan is that the world should look at us as a community, as the church. The world should hear us tell the story, and they should start to understand, this is who God is. This is what I was created to be. And they should hear, as we tell them this story, wow, I can be a part of that story too. I can be a part of that mystery. God calls me too. It's not just for this person or that person. That can be my life. That's what the purpose of the church is. To represent Jesus to the world. Now, it's not an easy journey. Verse 14, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. The waters on this journey are not always still. It's hard. But growing up in Jesus, becoming more like Jesus, is essential to weathering those waters. Growing up is hard, isn't it? Growing up is hard. We talk about growing pains of all kinds, right? Emotionally, physically, spiritually. Growing up is hard. Becoming strong and healthy is hard too, isn't it? You go to the gym, you got to exercise, you got to eat right, you got all these things to be strong and healthy. To be the body of Christ is hard. To be a strong, loving people in a world that wants to tear you away from that calling, that wants to tear you out of that boat, is hard. It's a hard journey. It takes learning who Jesus is. It takes learning and being just wrapped up in that kind of life. To be strong in it, to become strong in it, to grow into it. If we are going to be strong, if we are going to stay on that boat, if we are going to get to that destination, God gives us all kinds of tools to do that. We've talked about how he puts the Spirit in this community, the same Spirit that has the power to raise Jesus from the dead. That's power in this community to keep us there, to grow us up. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the teachings of Jesus to say, this is how you can become that. He gives us all kinds of resources. But it's a hard journey. Paul's guarantee to you, his guarantee to us this morning, is that if you get on that boat, if you say, I'm going to use my gifts to build others up, if I am committed to this journey, other people will see the love of God in you. And he will see the love of God in us. Because he's not just talking about individuals here. Certainly we're all called to mature, to grow up, to learn, but he's talking about a whole community that's becoming the body of Christ together. So that when people see us living our life together, they see what they were created to be. they see what their lives are all about. It just simply takes making a decision to get on that boat and to stay on that journey, to be trained and grown up in that calling. And if you and we learn together and grow up together and serve together, people will see Jesus in us. Now, on one level, one very important level, this whole analogy of the journey falls short this morning. Because the reality is, we don't get to wait to that destination to start representing Jesus to the world. The second we step on that boat, we are representatives of Jesus. People look at us and that's their impression maybe of who God is and who Jesus is. The second you get on that boat, people can start to see Jesus in you. You can start to impact people's lives. You don't wait to be perfect, because we're not going to get there this side of Jesus coming back. It happens right now. We can influence other people for God's kingdom. Now, if you haven't gotten on that boat, that's the offer for you. Do you want people to see God's love in you? Do you want people to see God's truth and joy and peace in you? That's the offer to get on that boat, and it starts right now. But if we don't, as followers of Jesus, if we don't get on that boat, if we don't grow up in the faith to be a strong body of Christ, people will not have the opportunity to see their calling. People won't have the opportunity to hear the story of God. Because that's God's plan. We are the plan. If people are going to hear the love of Christ, that's through us. If people are going to see His light, that's through us. If people are going to hear that calling, that's through us. And so it is vitally important that we are committed to being that crew, to building each other up, to growing strong, to listening to what God wants to teach us, listening to how the Spirit wants to work in us, and going along with that journey. If we are silent, if our lives aren't being changed, people will not hear their calling. In other words, if we're not living a life worthy of the calling, people won't see what God's love is all about. That's what Paul is asking us to be a part of, to live that life, to have our lives changed. Churches get members in all kinds of ways. Through advertising, maybe, through cool music. Nothing wrong with cool music. Churches get members in lots of ways. But the body of Christ, the church, only grows in one way. When the followers of Jesus are having their lives changed by the Spirit, and people can see that. When the followers of Jesus are telling the story of Jesus to the world, and people hear that. When the followers of Jesus are inviting other people into that kind of life. That is how the body of Christ grows. That is how the church that really matters, gets strong and grows and becomes a light to the world, becomes a masterpiece. And so the question is simply, are you ready to take that journey? There are a few questions in your bulletin this morning that might apply to different of you in different places in your life. And so we're going to take a time to just reflect on these for a few minutes. Maybe the question for you this morning is, do you trust Jesus enough to get on that boat? Do you really think He can get you to that life that you are created to live? Maybe that's the question that some of you have to reflect on this morning. Maybe for some of you the question is, are you willing to use your gifts for the good of others and the glory of God? Whether that be spiritual gifts, whether that be physical, material resources, are you willing to use your gifts to build up the body of Christ, to shine the light of Jesus? For some of you, the question might be, are you committed to doing whatever it takes to help the church reflect Jesus' love and tell the calling of Jesus to the world? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to learn and to share that? So we're going to take a few minutes just to reflect on those questions. Kevin's going to play a little bit to kind of set the mood. Then we're going to join back and we're going to worship. We've kind of come full circle from Ephesians 3 and the love of Christ, how deep and how high, wide, and and long is the love of Christ, to now the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. That's how we're going to end our worship this morning. So I invite you to reflect on these questions before the Lord for a couple minutes.